for a special purpose, you are always welcome here. And if we can be of particular help to you in a spiritual way, we'd love to have the opportunity to do that. In the month of May, we're focusing on remembering. And today we talk about the fact that God has a plan for you. And we constantly need to keep that in our minds. And what I'd like to share with you at the beginning is a children's story. I won't do a lot of background stuff because I'm going to use this a little later on in the summer as well. But it's a short little story called The Acorn God Forgot. Once upon a time, there was a very small acorn who lived at the top of a tall oak tree. He was so close to the sky, he could talk to the big fluffy clouds. "Good morning," he said one day as the clouds sailed through the sky. "Where are you going?" Now, I'm not going to do the voices in the story. If this was a children's class, the voices are the most fun, but I'm not going to try that this morning. "We're going off into the west to take some rain to the farmers over there. God sent us on this special errand so that the crops would grow." "Have a good trip," called the little acorn. He bounced on his branch in the oak tree as the wind blew the clouds away. Little Acorn liked to look up into the blue sky when the clouds were not around. He liked to look way, way down at the ground so far below him, see the green grass and the little squirrels playing around the tree. He liked to look at all the other acorns, and he liked to think about God, who had made them all. "God knows all about me," he said to himself. "He put me here in this tree and gave me all these things to see. He knows just where I am and just what I like. I'm so glad that God cares about me." One day the clouds were not as white as they were on bright days. They were dark and gray, and the wind was blowing them so fast that it made the big oak tree bend sideways. Little Acorn held onto his branch tightly and called, "Where are you going in such a hurry, clouds? Why are you so dark and gray?" "We're going to make a storm," called the clouds, "because the earth needs lots and lots of rain today. There will be thunder and lightning. But don't worry, little acorn. God is sending the storm, and he knows all about you. He'll take care of you." "Goodbye, clouds," he started to say. But just then, a big drop of rainwater fell right on his head. Little Acorn covered up with a leaf and got ready to watch the storm. The wind got stronger and stronger. The rain fell faster and faster. The lightning flashed in the sky, making everything as bright as sunshine. "I'm glad God knows where I am," thought little Acorn. "And I'm glad he takes care of me." Then little Acorn felt a strange thing happen. His little cap that held onto the branch broke loose, and he was falling. Down and down he fell until he landed on the ground with a plop in the mud. "God must have forgotten about me," he said. "Now what will happen?" At last the sun came out. The world began to dry off. Everything was fresh and green from the rain. Little Acorn lay on the ground feeling very sorry for himself. Then he felt himself being lifted up into the air. A squirrel had picked up the acorn in his furry paws and was carrying him away. "Wait, wait," cried little Acorn. "Put me down. What are you going to do with me?" The squirrel didn't hear. He was much too busy putting away food for the winter. He buried little Acorn in the ground and went away, forgot all about it. Little Acorn was so very sad. First, God had let him fall from the tree, and now he was buried in the ground where he couldn't see the sky or the grass or any of his friends. Little Acorn cried and cried. God had forgotten all about him. He was sure of that. He cried so hard he cried himself to sleep. Little Acorn slept for a long time. He slept all summer and through the fall. He slept all winter when the snow lay on the ground above him. When it was spring, he woke up. He felt so different. Why, he wanted to stretch and stretch and stretch. He stretched until he felt like he would break in two. And suddenly, one little arm stretched right out of the ground. Little Acorn was so surprised. What's happening, he wondered. He wiggled the arm around in the air and felt the warm spring sunshine. He kept on stretching and growing until the arm became bigger and grew branches and leaves. Little Acorn had turned into an oak tree, just like the one he had grown on so long ago. What a surprise for little Acorn. Why, God hadn't forgotten about him at all. But God had something planned that little Acorn didn't know about. And what a good plan it was. The oak tree grew and grew until it was large enough to grow other acorns. It stretched its branches up into the sky and waved at the clouds as they were sailing overhead. And when the clouds brought rain, the oak tree covered the little acorns with his leaves and said, don't be afraid. God will take care of you. And even if you think he has forgotten you, he really hasn't. He always knows just where you are and what is best for you. Acorn went from happy to fearful to fulfilled. And I think there's a real life arc there that we can examine and look at. Oftentimes, that's the way our lives feel. But it also happens not just across our lives, but it happens in little segments in our lives as well. Things are going well, and we think everything's good, and then something happens, and we say, oh, now life is terrible. And then we find out that really there was a different purpose entirely for the things we have experienced, and so we wind up with a triumph again. And we have those little ones as well as the big one that's taking place in our life. It's so easy for us to get discouraged. It's so easy when we spend time in the mud, or we spend time buried up, when we spend time in pain, when we spend time thinking like this fictional character, God has forgotten me. And this morning I'd like for us just to remind ourselves that there's a plan out there. God has a plan for us. Now, we're not forced to accept the plan. And a lot of people don't. Instead of God's plan, they want to use their plan. Or they want to make sure that they're always happy. Or they want to acquire as much as humanly possible. Or they want people to notice them. Or all kinds of things become our life plan rather than what God has in mind for us. And when we do that, we're saying to God, no, I won't accept your plan. When Jesus was alive, the Jewish leaders refused to accept God's plan. They had a plan, and they were going to use their plans instead. There's a number of passages, if we could put that screen up, on it's number 13. You can see here, laid plans, made their plans, devised a plan, made plans. Well, what to do? The first is to trap him in his words. They made plans to have him executed. They devised a plan after his death to cover up a story, to create a story that would cover up what actually happened to his physical body. And the most audacious of all, this is one of the passages that I find absolutely almost just hard to believe. Because remember, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And that's a problem for the Jewish leaders. Because now you have this guy walking around, living and breathing, who can testify to the fact that he was dead and Jesus made him alive again. So what's the plan? The chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. Let's just kill him again. Let's just put him back in the grave. Can you imagine going against this awesome power that they've seen manifest? Sometimes our plans become that crazy. Can't you see that this is about what God wants? This is God's plan. And when I stand against it, I'm putting myself in a pretty dangerous place. We see other characters, Bible characters. Sarah, in a mistake. Saul, to a certain degree, I think falls into this category, and many others as well. Hebrews 11, verse 40. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. God had a plan. And then David tells us in Psalm chapter 18, a most encouraging passage, his ways are perfect. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all those who take refuge in him. God wants us to know that whatever our plan is, his plan is better. Now, momentarily, it may not feel that way. But across the whole spectrum of things, if we'll stick with God's plan, things will work out for the best for us. So as we look to God, we say, okay, I want to follow your plan. I'm going to leave my plan behind. And that's when it sometimes gets difficult because, as I mentioned earlier, it's not always sunshine. It's not always the wonderful days. There are plenty of storms that complicate our life. And when that happens, there are plenty of voices stimulated by Satan who say, are you sure about this God thing? Are you sure about this spiritual life? Are you sure about being spirit-led? Doesn't look like that's working too well for you. What's God trying to tell you with this disaster? What message is he trying to send to you with this difficulty? He's not sending you any message at all. That's life. And that's the randomness of evil. And if the plan is to stay with God, to continue to follow him. Job chapter 10, verse 3. Job asked the question, "Does it please you to oppress me, to spurn the work of your hands, while you smile on the plans of the wicked?" You ever felt that way? Why are all these evil people doing so well? How is it that all this sinful stuff is being so successful? And you look around and you see so much that's going on that's so wrong. And you think, God, does it give you some perverse pleasure to put me in a bad spot? So much so, it happens to Job that he says, "God, would you answer me a couple of questions?" And God says to him in Job 38, verse 2, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge?" And then in verses 3 and 4, the passage that we know so well, "Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me." Basically, God's saying to Job, "Tell you what, you got a question, I'll be glad to answer it. But why don't you let me ask you a question first? Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand." And for the rest of that chapter and the rest of the next chapter, God is going to ask Job all kinds of questions that he doesn't have anywhere near the knowledge to answer. So that first one just haunts us. When we get to the place where we say, "God, why aren't you doing this right?" He answers back to us, "Where were you? Where were you when I made the world? Where were you when I set all these things in motion? Where are you when I continue to sustain all these things that people need and all these interactions and continue to fulfill my wisdom? You tell me what you're doing that's greater than that, and maybe we'll follow your plan." Job says in verse 42, or chapter 42, verse 3, "You ask, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know." God says, "It's okay, God. I'll stick with your plan." And we know how that plan ends in terms of the final situation for Job. Maybe the hardest part of God's plan, though, is the fact that it involves a lot of waiting. Wouldn't it be nice if it just happened easily and quickly? Things just fell into order exactly when we wanted them to and exactly when we felt like it was time for the next thing to happen. There's one passage in Scripture that really gives us a hard time, though, and that's a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. God is the creator of time. He's not bounded by time, and our time really doesn't mean very much to him. We live in a culture where time is everything. I remember reading a story a few years back where this guy is traveling to the West in the 1860s or something about that period of time, and he misses the stage. Well, there's no problem. There's another stage going to that same place in 30 days. Can you imagine that in our world today? I mean, we have to have speed in everything. We have to have speed in travel. We have to have speed in communication. We have to even have speed in our gratification. And so when God says to us, "Okay, just slow down and wait just a bit." "Well, how long, Lord?" Well, although he doesn't give us the answer in his mind, he can be saying, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. "Well, no, that's not fast enough. I need things to happen a little more quickly than that." Because things don't go the way the little acorn thought they should go, he concludes that God has forgotten him. And so when we're in these waiting periods, there are things that we can do. And let me share with you quickly just three suggestions. One is to relive God's power in your life. When has God moved and acted in your life? What are the things you can think back to that were working exactly the way God intended for them to work? And we see the manifestations of those things over and over again. We look at the lives of other people. "Is that mine?" I actually turned it off. It's on red. I'm so sorry. That's terrible. I kept wondering, when is somebody going to figure out that their phone is on? Oh, boy, there's no way to bounce back from that. What I was saying is we re-experience God's power, and we do that in a number of ways. The other thing is we understand that there's a developmental process going on. God's not just killing time. He's moving us along. There's something that we're supposed to be learning in the period that we're waiting. And so when we meditate or when we study or when we pray, we're growing in our faith and in our deeds. And as I've mentioned before, one of the biggest games out there is this game of attrition. We come into a place of relaxation and we like to quit and stop. And Satan entices us to do that because he knows that if we don't grow during the waiting periods, that we'll be just that much weaker at the time of the next test and challenge. And so as long as we're willing to just sit idly during the waiting times, he knows he has us because he's going to wear us down over the whole process. God says, no, during those waiting times, you need to be growing. You need to be learning. You need to be strengthening yourself. You need to be developing in some pretty unique areas. And the third one, I think, is the fact that we need to encourage each other. We can share with each other the things that are frustrating to us, the things that are causing us to be challenged and to be set back just a little bit. We can encourage each other in all kinds of ways. Today, as we gather here for a lot of reasons. And we would talk about the various acts of worship that are a part of our gathering here today. But another incredibly important thing is the encouragement we give each other. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We encourage each other. Just by being here, we encourage each other. But there are more direct and more concrete ways that we can do that. How long does it take to encourage somebody in this gathering this morning? You could do it in 5 seconds. You could do it in 10 seconds. If you left out of this room and determined that you were going to encourage as many people as possible before you got into your car, how many people could you encourage? Encouragement is such a powerful tool. And if you're in one of those phases where you feel like everything is on top of you, you feel like you're buried in the mud, how good does it feel to have somebody reach out and encourage you? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, many are the plans of a person's heart, but is the Lord's purpose that prevails. I'm always astounded to read in the first chapter of Luke, when the angel comes and talks to Mary and explains to her what's happening. I mentioned this in Bible class recently. Basically, the angel says, your plans are all gone because I have this more important plan for you. And Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. We guess that this girl is a teenager. She's heard this incredible statement and she says, I belong to God. I will accept his plan. And I'll put mine on hold. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Sometimes it feels dark, but when you hang in there and the fulfillment of that comes, it feels so good. And the reason it does is because we're fulfilling our purpose. And that only happens when we stay connected to God. I want to share with you to conclude this morning a little poem. It's not a famous poem. In fact, it probably hasn't been read by too many people. It's a personal poem that somebody had put on the internet. I am a little acorn, the fact that's plain to see. But remember that the mighty oak was once a nut like me. When I was a baby bud, I burst forth from a limb. I grew a little every day out from my little stem. As I grew older day by day, an identity crisis hit me. I searched my heart and searched my soul to find out just what I should be. I did not want to be a nut. I cried, I can't, I won't. Because some days you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't. I tried to be a button and a rolling tumbleweed. I tried to be a jelly bean, still did not succeed. One day I turned to the Lord and cried out with all my might, "Why, oh, why do I continue to fail? Why won't something go right?" "Remember to whom you are speaking," said he. "I am the great I am, but I'm also the root of David and the seed of Abraham. From small beginnings come great things. The fact is tried and true. The mighty oak could never be without an acorn like you. All are given different gifts and must do the best they can to find a way to channel them according to my plan. So cheer up, little acorn, and learn the secret known by few. Be content with what you're given and let God work through you. I'll be the best acorn ever. I'll do as God has led." Then, standing bold and brave and tall, the acorn proudly said, "I am a little acorn. In fact, it's plain to see. But remember that the mighty oak was once a nut like me." We don't always get it. We feel insignificant. We feel overwhelmed. We feel overpowered. And God says, "Hang on and let me use my resources. Utilize my plan. And you'll see where this all goes and how it all develops." This morning, if God's plan is not the basis of your life, we'd encourage you to reconsider that. There may be things that you need to do, and if we could help you do those things privately, we'd be glad to. But if you feel the need to do something publicly this morning, if we can assist you in that way, please come to the front while we sing this song together.